everybody. Welcome to another episode of Drop in the Gloves. John Scott here. We got an interview with Devin Setoguchi coming up. I just want to kind of get in front of this episode. I had a great interview with Devin. He does cuss a little bit. I was trying to keep track and I was going to edit them all out, but I lost track and my ink ran out, and I just don't have the patience or the skill, or frankly, I just don't want to, because there's quite a few, and he doesn't say it, you know, in a very angry way, but it just is flowing within the conversation. So before it gets to the interview, if you have young ears and you don't want them to hear the F-bomb, this is not the interview for you, unless you want to wear out your finger by turning the knob or muting it. So just warning you here, if you desperately want to hear the episode and you have kids and you want to hear it, I can go through and edit them all out. Just let me know and I can make that happen. But for my sanity and for my time, I don't want to do it right now, because frankly, there's just too many of them. So it was a great interview, which sticks, because it was one of the most honest kind of in-depth talks about what it, you know, the toll it takes on players being in the NHL, and the mental game is so incredibly tough, and the struggles that you deal with. And Devin was very open and forthcoming, which was it's a beautiful thing. So, you know, let me know. And if there's enough people who reach out and say, can you please edit this? We want to, you know, show this and have our kids listen to it. I will be more than happy to edit it, and we can listen to it, and I'll release a family-friendly version. But for the time being, you've been warned. It's a fantastic interview. Devin Setoguchi of the San Jose Sharks, Minnesota Wild, and so on and so forth. But as you will hear, you know, he's a San Jose Shark at heart. So enjoy. I hope you enjoy the interview. I'll talk to everybody next week with another episode. So yeah, thank you so much, and you've been warned. Cheers, everybody. All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Devin Setoguchi. Welcome to another episode of Drop in the Gloves. It's going to be a good one. I met Devin for Jumbo's retirement ceremony.
Yeah.
Like last year, maybe 2 years ago. Gosh, time flies. And I've been wanting to do this for a long time, and we made it work, obviously. I don't do this for everybody, Devin. This is past my bedtime, 6 p.m. here in Michigan. Yeah. I'm usually in bed by 7. So this is I only do this for special guests, but yeah, thanks for joining me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I feel honored to keep you up past your bedtime. So, makes me feel wanted.
And you are wanted, because I'm a former Sharks alumni. Obviously, like I said, we met at Jumbo's thing. Let's just talk about that, because I think you know Jumbo a little bit more than I do, just because I played with them for 1 year. I played half the games and we were just garbage. And yeah. You come into this league and you're hot stuff. You know, let's be honest. You're a first rounder, 8th overall, which is, Devin, that's pretty good. And you're coming in with the NHL entry draft. You got Sidney Crosby. You got one of my good friends, Benoit Pouliot, yep. Carey Price. And then you're picked after Hall of Fame, maybe Chicago Blackhawk, Jack Skilly. So coming into the NHL, you got to be feeling pretty good about yourself. And you're thrown into the mix with the likes of Jumbo and Marlowe and all these Dan Boyle and high-end player. What was that like? Because you're 19, 20 years old, Devin, coming into this situation.
Yeah, you know, like, it seems so fucking long ago.
Right?
Like a thing, right?
Yeah.
My first year was like 07, 08, which is 18 years ago, you know? And like anybody, you know, you grow up in playing hockey. It's your dream to get drafted. It's your dream to go, you know, to the NHL. And, you know, I was not projected to be a top 10 pick. I was actually I was supposed to be like late first round, maybe early second round pick.
Oh, no kidding.
I mean, my agent kind of said, he's like, you know, we were expecting first round after interviews and stuff like that. And so it's funny story is like, we're sitting at the table. And like you said, Skilly just got picked. And I'm like, man, I got to go to the bathroom. My dad's like, oh, wait, there's a trade. Like, there's a trade. Just wait, right? And so I was like, okay. So we wait. And it's like, San Jose's traded. And, you know, they select, boom, me, right? And so, like, no, if it was 20 seconds later and he said no, I would have been in the bathroom taking a piss when I got drafted 8th overall. And they would have been, like, looking around, like, where is this guy?
No kidding. So had you talked to Dougie Wilson and the Sharks? Like, what?
Yeah, so I mean, you do the combine, right? And then you do all the meetings. I had like 20 something meetings to do, you know. My meeting with the Sharks was good. Like, I just briefly what I remember is like Berkey was the one that ran it for the most part. And, you know, I didn't like, even when I left, I'm like, I don't know, all those were great. Like, they're all good. Like, no idea. But I did when I got drafted, I was like, where the fuck is San Jose? Like, I have no idea, right? We're in northern, I mean, we're in southern Alberta in Calgary. Like, it's, you know, we're watching the Leafs play at 5 o'clock and we're watching Calgary play, you know, but like San Jose games didn't start to like 8:30 p.m. and like you didn't put them on TV, so we didn't barely even know. But yeah, coming in the league, I mean, like anyone, like super excited, dude. Like anybody that gets to play with Patty and Jumbo, but not even that. Like we had Chloe, we had Pavelski, we had Milan Mihalik, we had Pooch, we had, you know, and actually, like, funny story, my second year when I scored 30, I think my line was Chloe and Pabs for most of the year.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. But I was first line PP with Patty and Jumbo. And I was kind of like splitting back and forth. But I'd say, like, the year I scored 30, I was like half of those guys. I was like just kind of thrown around wherever they put me.
That's, well, it's not a bad shuffle to have when you got Ryan Clough and Pavs, who Pavs one of the best goal scorers, and Chloe, who just one of the toughest SOBs ever. So it's insane to jump into that situation. Did you realize how lucky you were? And you're on a winning team to boot.
Yeah, I mean, it leads into a lot. Like, there's a lot in my story, but like, I mean, I remember, like, it was just so much fun. And like everywhere I went after that, even though we went to Minnesota, you know, the one year we didn't make the playoffs, the next year we did, even though it was a lockout year, it just like wasn't the same, you know. Like after that, I didn't make the playoffs anymore. But like the run we had for the 4 years, it was like anything. Like every time we went on the road, it was like one group went to Italian, one group went to steak. It's like 11 people went one way, 11 went the other way. It was all team mentality. Everything was like, you know, team first. And, you know, just a very special group of guys.
For well, sure. What do you, I want to go back. You said that leads a lot into my story.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean? Like, what do you mean by that?
So, like, a lot of things. I mean, early success. Like, I was a motivated kid. Like,
yeah.
I was very motivated. Like, no drugs, no alcohol. You're a fucking loser if you drink or you smoke weed.
Yeah.
Make the NHL, right? I remember the first year I got the taste. I was up and down, 40 games, playoffs. I had like 14 goals. Like, I got to really get that summer. I was an absolute weapon. Like, I was benching 315 at 21. I was squatting. Oh, no, like, you know, I was like, I was pinnacle shape of my life. And I came back that next year and it was just like, you know, 60 something points, right? Played really good. And from there, it was like a switch. It was like, I got it all figured out. I got 30. Like, summer was still training, but like, I remember partying more, not like super crazy, but like,
yeah,
I got this. I'm still as strong as I was last year. I'm like, and so then like my level just kind of stayed. Right. But you said great team. So before I had my first 3 years, right? Then I signed a 1 year for like $2 million. I had another 20 something that year and I had a really good playoff. And it was like 2 days before the draft, Dougie Wilson's like, my agent's like, hey, they want to sign you 3 years, $10 million. He's like, take less money, keep the team together. Right.
Yeah.
The team is a unit. We've went back to back conference finals. We're going to, you know, we're going to the cup final.
Who's selling you that? Is that Dougie trying to sell you?
Dougie Wilson. Right. Yep. Keep the team together, stay where you're at, you know, and we need it. We need it. Right.
Yeah.
Agents,
you're a big part of this future of this team.
You're the future. Yeah. It's, you know, you just saw it back to back conference finals. Our next stop is the finals, all that stuff. Right. 2 days later, I get fucking traded. Go to the draft.
That's the crazy part of your story that I was just like, how does that happen?
Right.
Like, what goes through your head?
So that really fucked with me for the rest of my hockey career.
No kidding.
Like, I went to Minnesota, and at that point, my drinking had slowly elevated, right? Again, I'm young enough to, like, stay, like, a pure skill, and like will.
Yeah, because you're still 22, 23 years old.
Scoring goals. You know, I still get my 20 to 25 with the 1 year of 30. I think I had 4 years in a row of it, you know, with the 130 in it, and I had a good playoffs. And so then I went to Minnesota. It was like, I just started. I was like, fuck those guys, right? And then like a week later, Heater got traded there, right?
Oh, no. See, yep. Right? I know Danny. Yep.
Right. So Heater got traded there. And I'm not saying Heater's a bad thing, Evan.
Exactly.
And we hung out together daily, you know, and it just became a thing. We'd hang out, we'd play, we'd drink, we'd do whatever. But my resentment was towards that fucking Doug Wilson for like my whole entire career. Now, granted, I don't blame Doug for the situation that he did. You look at it and think it's like he got a sinking ship, a guy that scored 30, they drafted eighth overall that they thought was going to pinnacle and take off, right? And it slowly got a stagnant player that he could say slowly degrading by drinking and alcohol issues, right? And what are they getting?
Hold on, stop there. So because you're being pretty hard on yourself, but
yes and no.
That's aggressive. Like you're 21 years old at that time, you know? It's not like you're this 35-year-old alcoholic. Like you're still, you know, you're still a kid.
But what I'm saying is like I don't fault them for the trade. I fault them for how it was done, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and I've never gotten the clarity. Like, was it done to trade, right? Was a deal always done in place that they needed to get me for lower? Because, like,
Minnesota.
Right? Yeah. You know, because they got Burnsy. They got a fucking Norris Trophy winning defenseman. A guy who's still playing. A guy that, you know, got 80 fucking points for them. Like, it's not like they got nobody.
Oh, no. Right? He's a Hall of Fame player. Yeah.
So the thing is like, did they know? And I secretly, I'm like, 100%. They're like, get this guy. Because if I look at my first 3 years that led into it, it was like 30. Then it was like 20-something. And then even when I went to Minnesota, like, I look at that, that's a four for four deal.
Yeah.
Right? Back then, that's a four for four deal with eight goals in the playoffs, you know, just like 0.6 points per game in the playoffs, big goals in the playoffs. It's four for four. And they got me, it ended up being like 3 for 3.
Yep.
You know? And so when that happened, that was just like, I was like, these guys fucked me so hard. I was like, I fucking lost $7 million. Like, fuck it. You know, all this stuff. But like I said, I don't fault Doug for making the trade. I just don't know the logistics on did they know.
Well, good for you for not faulting him, because it sounds like he just screwed you over, right? Because you don't sign someone for 3 years.
Yeah.
And then turn around and trade him 2 days later. So, like, who was the GM of Minnesota? Would it have been
Chuck Fletcher?
Chuck Fletcher. Fletcher. And did you ask him when you got him?
I didn't ask him. I didn't, you know, like at that point, I didn't really care. It was like, whatever. Oh. You know, I went there. And like, funny enough, Torrey Mitchell came over that year too. So he
the
was
whole team.
You
know, yeah, I know all those guys.
He was there, and then Staubitz came, right? Oh, so goodness. I had like four guys from San Jose that were there, right? And we had a good team. But that resentment and like just full on hate for that situation, I just like fuck me mentally forever. I was like, fuck that. And I didn't really care after that.
So I talk about that because we just had Linus Allmark from the Senators who left for some mental issues.
Yeah.
You're a 22-year-old kid. And I've never been in that situation because my expectations were just to show up to the game and fight once. Like I had no pressure. You're a 21-year-old kid who just got screwed over. You want to stay with the franchise. Like, do you not sleep at night? Are you just so mad you can't work? Like, you're not focusing. Like, what goes through that?
It was 4 years. So I was 24, right?
Okay.
So it's 24. And it was just like I had that early success. Confidence had turned to arrogance and cockiness, right? And I had this like, I'm a big-time player in the playoffs. I can play a guy who can score big goals. I play with Joel Thornton. I play with Patrick Marleau. Now I'm on Minnesota. Now I'm on the first line. Heatley, Koivu, Setoguchi. And it's just like your brain is just like completely, you know. And anything that was going wrong was like the excuse, like, oh, the fucking power play is not working because of this guy. Or like, you know, I'm not on the first line power play. I'm not playing with this guy. And it becomes a very like, but like mentally deep down inside, like I always knew I didn't train hard enough afterwards. I was never in good enough shape. Mm-hmm. I always knew that since 24 on, because I'd go home for the summer, I'd stay. I wouldn't train as hard. I would stay strong, but I was never in like good cardio enough shape to play more than 15, 16 minutes.
Ever since that second season where you were a beast.
Pretty much that's after that second season is when everything, that early success led like straight, like complacing, like I was just very content. And I knew that. And I knew that from after that moment, and I drank more and I was fucking fatter and I wasn't in good shape, but I was still scoring and I would still get it done. 25, 26. And then that last year in Minnesota, we had a lockout and I was on pace for over 20.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had like pretty good points per game that I don't know, like relatively good. I think I had like 13 and like 48 or something like that, you know, like or 40.
Yeah, no, you almost had 30 points in 48 games. It's a great pace.
You know, the good, it was, you know, me and Matt Cullen and Boosh played that year together. The year before I had 19 and our team stunk. So, like, I still was getting it done, and then they fucking traded me to Winnipeg for that last year.
Yeah.
And at that point, that was, like, the lowest point.
So why is that? Because Winnipeg's a good team. It's just up north. You're a Canadian kid. They got Bufflin and Wheeler. Like, a good team. They would be.
The thing was, is, like, I always wanted to be here. Right? Like I'm in San Jose. It's like, I always just wanted to be there. That was my fucking dream. I had this thing of like, think of the 4 years we had that huge, we'd be fucking Detroit every year. It was like the tank was sold out. It was unbelievable. I had this promise and that I was going to stay there for like 4 or 5 more fucking years there.
Yeah.
I'm like in Minnesota hating it. And then all of a sudden I'm in fucking Winnipeg, like Northern California, where I'd spend all my summers. My wife was from there.
Okay.
Right. Like my wife was from there at the time. So I'd always come back. So I always had this conflating, like go to hockey season, come back to California. Well, fuck, should have been here anyways. Why the fuck was I gone? Well, Dougie fucked me. He traded me 2 days later. And it's like this cycle.
It would just reignite the hatred you had and all that. Cycle.
Like, the loathing of swallowing and self-pity of like, how the fuck could he do that to me when it was like, I can see why he would trade me. I don't understand. I never want to know logistics of it. Don't really care now, but it's that's what fucked me. Like I mentally for myself.
So gosh, it's sad to hear. Right? And looking back to you, from my perspective,
Like,
this poor guy is just like, it's just sad because you got screwed over by someone you trusted, a GM who basically said, I want you here. And then he throws you away. Like there's a lot of dynamics to that.
You know, that's a big mental, like, well, what, you know, what for a long time I fought it. Why, you know, like, I know why, like, I really truly know why. It's like, I wasn't living up to the second year standard. They could see that, right? Like went 30, 65 points, like, down to like just under 40. And, you know, and granted, we brought in fucking Heater. We brought in these big guys. So it wasn't like, and they weren't seeing that. And maybe they saw the downfall, which I saw myself. And they, like I said, they got Burnsy for it. But mentally, and I was young, I was too young with no clarity and no like any sort of like being able to look myself in the mirror and be like, you are part of the problem. Right.
Yeah.
Like that's the big thing. Like anyone who, and I shouldn't speak for anyone, myself as an addict, alcoholic, it's like the self-loathing of like, well, poor me went on for a long time. Right.
Yeah.
And that's what drove me to go nuts and go insane and drink and use drugs and, you know, and then Winnipeg, nothing against that place whatsoever, but I just compared it as why the fuck I'm here. I should be there. Right.
There's no two polar opposites in the NHL.
Literally opposites.
San Jose and Winnipeg. Like you cannot pick a worse spot to go to. If you're like apex place is San Jose.
Yeah.
Like and I said it here, Winnipeg sucks. Like the city itself is absolute. Great. The people are great. It's like, it's terrible. So you go to Winnipeg you hate it, right? And you're there and you play a full season. You still put up. This is the crazy thing about people who have skill like you. and it kind of irks me a little bit. You're getting like a point every three games still. Like, yeah. You're still producing. You're on a relatively up and coming team with all these good young players. What are your meetings like with the GMs? Because do you think that they see the potential? They see the flashes? Do they ever go Devin, come on, let's go? Did anyone ever grab you and say, like, let's go?
So that year, like a couple times. I forget who. I honestly can't even remember the French coach that we had.
In Winnipeg?
Yeah.
That would have been Claude Noel.
Claude Noel, yeah. I mean, I had a couple of meetings with him, and he's like, what's, you know, come on. We got you for this. Like, go do it. I mean, out of those games, first off, I never finished the year in Winnipeg. I had to call the doctors because we were playing an afternoon game at Boston, or in Winnipeg against Boston, and I was out, like, ripping all night, and it was, like, 7 a.m., and I'm in someone's basement in Winnipeg, higher than a kite, and I'm supposed to be at the rink, and, like, this is after we had a day off the day before, and it was already, like, a 4-hour, I called the doctors, and I'm like, I can't finish the year here. I'm like, I can't do anything, like, this is my current situation. Like, I'm just fucking, I don't want to be here anymore. Right.
And there's like 2 weeks left in the season, right? Yeah. Like, it's almost done.
Yeah. And I remember, like, the next day. And the thing is like, when Paul Maurice came in that year, like, I fucking love Mo. Mo is like, I called him to make an amends with, like, my GMs and my coaches later on. And he's like, dude, I don't give a fuck. He's like, all I really care, like, even at the end of the year, even he talked about it, like, that you're healthy. And he's like, when you get home, you put your phone in the fucking drawer, and it's about your family and your life. And hockey is secondary to that.
That's awesome.
And so I never finished a year there. And half the games that I was there is fucking hungover or high. So the fact that I even got like a point every three games is actually incredible.
Well, that's what I mean.
I remember like a couple times, like, I went on like in Winnipeg my second year, we'll go on like 4 or 5 or 6 game point streaks. And it's because, like, I go out and I get kind of lit the night before, and then, like, I got to keep the streak going, like drunk for like 7-8 days, still going. Got to. Second assist tonight by fucking dumping the puck out of the glass.
Gotta go well till 5 a.m.
Yeah, time to go again, right? And I did that like a couple times. The mental, like, the rationale in our brain is just like I'm hot. I got to stay hot.
That's insane. Yeah. What is your, and again, like, because I've gone out and got after. What's your body like? How do you do that? Insane.
It's like 25, 26, 27. Like, those are supposed to be the prime years for your, back then. Those were your prime years, right? Yeah. And it just feels like, strength-wise, it was always really strong. Like, it just, like, skill-wise, smart-wise, I could still do it. And then it's like, once after that, after Winnipeg, like, I'm 28 almost now. Like, forget about it. I'm fucking sore if I, like, try to touch my toes the next day,
Yeah. And you just can't do it.
Just can't do it anymore, right? The game got too fast, too slow versus, like, 10 years before us. Guys could do that. It wasn't, they could grind through it. It wasn't fast, right? The game wasn't as fast back then in my eyes.
No.
Right? Like, you can physically can't do it if you're not fast enough to keep up.
Oh, Devin, this is not where I expected this interview to go. Like, this is fantastic. But so, you okay?
Yes, sorry. Oh, hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Yeah, just hitting a quick. I'll be done in like 10 minutes. Oh. Yeah.
You'll be done like in an hour. You got a training session or what?
No, it's like one of my coaches here, like, this gym is like a gym, but then also like open gym. People can bring their clients here and stuff.
Okay. Well, I'll get you out of here. Yeah. 10 more minutes. So moving on, because it gets a little, like, that's crazy stuff. And, like, I've played with guys who have had those issues. I was good friends with, Derek Bugard, obviously fought that forever. Then obviously lost his life. You seem to have turned around and figured stuff out. Did it happen when you go overseas? Did you have like a come to Jesus moment when you were playing, or did that come after?
The sped up version, because I remember like Winnipeg, after Winnipeg, I was like, fuck, like, that's an eye opener. I'm like, not drinking that year. Like Versteeg got married that summer and I'd signed a deal with Calgary, like last minute, like kind of like one way deal with Calgary, not going to drink, not going to do anything. Like everyone knew at that point. Right.
Cause you had been through the program.
Well, I hadn't even been through the program yet at that point. I had, I called the doctors at the end of the year. That shit travels fast. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then, you know, Calgary's like, hey, we, you know, we have a little issue. I heard you didn't finish the year, blah, blah. I'm like, of course you did. Fucking people can't shut their mouth. right? It's like so much for privacy in this fucking doctor, this league, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, cool, not going to drink, go to Calgary. Fuck, I mean, that's tough. Like, Bob Hartley, I think he's a nice guy, but I never liked him. You know, I never did. I feel like his coaching style wasn't my coaching style.
Yep.
But again, I was not in good enough shape. I trained that summer to try and get back. I wasn't like quite there yet. I've only played 20 games, ended up in the minors. You know, again, at that point, still wasn't ready for it. And then like near the end of that, in the minors, I got hurt, surgery, fucking drank every day for like 60 days. And then I ended up in rehab, right? Like after I ended up in rehab, all good. Came out of that, got married that summer. Fucking Jumbo's like, you're going to Switzerland. You're going to go play in Davos. Like, I fucking called the coach already. Here you go.
Okay, let's stop on that because again, back to the San Jose connection. Like, how cool is that for Jumbo to be like, I got you a spot on my team. Like, that's – nobody does that, right?
No. Call this guy. Get it set up. Arnold's waiting for you. And I go over there and – you know, like that's why I still see him like all the time. And, you know, we hang out all the time and we golf. He's just like overall, and like, anyone's heard it, greatest guy ever. Everyone loves him, you know.
Yeah.
Go play there, have a little bit of resurgent. And then I come back that year and, you know, like even over there, like mentally struggling with like the fact that I wanted to come back and wanted to hit a minimum 500 games. And then, you know, I played with Blakey and like that summer I called Blakey. I was like, I want to try out for you in LA, right? Daryl Sutter, he knew my dad. He like played against my dad and like he's a Southern Alberta guy, you know? Yeah. And so I remember seeing Daryl. I'm like, I want to come fucking try out there that year. I'm like, I'm going to make your fucking team. And I was like really motivated to make the team. I just think at that point I was like too far gone. You know, 2 years out of the league removed. Still made it. Still got on the team, right?
Yeah. Like you're playing in the NHL.
I did what I wanted to accomplish. Rehab, fucking made the comeback, got it done. Went to, you know, Switzerland or to Germany after that. And I just said, fuck it. Like I was on like surgery number 9.
Oh man.
You know, we just had my first baby and like, and I was like, it was ready to go, you know? And that's a finished hockey career.
And it's funny to look at you. For anybody else, me in particular, I would have loved your career. Obviously, all the other stuff, the off-ice stuff, no. But you look at your stats, your point every other game. Played over 500 games. Like 130 goals, 130 assists. Like that's insane stuff. Like you said in the playoffs, a killer in the playoffs.
It's great. I love it.
Do you ever feel like, damn, like and trust me, just if you don't want to answer because it's a pretty shitty question. Do you ever sit back and go, if I would have just like that second,
you know,
got my shit together
for the longest time in sobriety or like when I would come out of it, I would have been back, like I would have stayed, I would have fucking scored all these goals. I will tell you like to this day right now, like I wouldn't trade my life right now, what I got going on to go back and play.
Yeah.
Like now, yes. But I always going to have that like, fuck, I really pissed away that great opportunity like to continue to play and do it. But at the same time, I am like completely happy with, you know, no one gets to play over 500 games in the NHL. No one gets to have the experience. Like, I have fucking great stories for the rest of my life. Yeah. Like, and like you said, I'm completely happy with my career and people can say what they want on like underperforming and like all. I'm like, go look at the draft from that year. There's like, you look at it, you know, like I did relatively good for the fucking out of the first round draft picks that were there. It wasn't too bad.
Well, you're not as good as Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, I know. or like, you know, they decided to take San Jose decided to leave Kopi on the board till number 10. You know,
I'm taking you over Kopi. I'll take you over Kopi. But, you know, talking about San Jose and these draft picks, you're obviously in the area. You're close with the team somewhat. What would you say to these young kids? Because they're just loaded with talent.
Oh, and
it's the sky's the limit for this team. Do you ever get to talk to them or be around the team? Or
I think at some point I would like to, you know, like I feel like the league is kind of gotten a better grasp on all that stuff. Right. Yeah,
they definitely
like,
have.
You know, the league is younger. You don't really get the seasoned veterans anymore. That old style, not even old. What when we played, is not there anymore.
There's no three cases of beer on the back of the bus. Cool. There's no, yeah.
You know, it's a love hate relationship with business. It kind of takes the fun out of it sometimes. You know, like guys are getting interchanged in the bottom six line or the bottom six, like fucking like nothing.
Yeah.
When it's like that same guy, he could do that job. You know. There's no loyalty toward that anymore, you know? And like where it was like, I remember like when I first came in, it was like, I think the third and fourth line were like your stable guys. Like those guys were playing as the first line guys. And the fourth line guys were fucking fighting or like two of them were blocking shots of their fucking face and shit. Yep. And now it's like the third and fourth line guys are like robots.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like a programmed robot. And if you can't keep up with your like mechanics to stay as fast as you are, fuck it. You're done. I got to do someone else for you.
That's crazy. Right? So what would you like? What? Gosh, no, you're absolutely right. And I think they have to do that these days is because the first line guys make way too much money. So it's like if you're going to change something, it's the third and fourth line guys. And that used to be, like you said, the heart of your team.
Yeah. I mean, I have like this weird like it's like are they making too much money and not make? I don't think they're making enough money compared to the rest of our sports or the rest of sports, baseball, basketball, hockey. So, hockey is whatever. Like top line guys should have that ability to make that. It's like, I also think we've had a shitty job at growing the sport of hockey in fucking the United States. Terrible job doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, like the high profile guys like McDavid should be playing at prime time all the time, you know, like all these teams and they should be doing these things. But like looking at it now, yeah, I mean, they don't have the money to pay those guys.
Yeah.
The salary cap is whatever it is. And six guys, like look at Toronto a couple years ago, six guys took up like 70%.
Over like 80% of the team, it seemed like. Yeah. I mean, 80% of the salary. It's nuts. So looking back on your career, like what's your memory? What's your fondest memories? Do you still look back at the San Jose days? Like,
I'll never forget like my first game, you know.
Okay.
Like, also, like I'll never forget like Pierre McGuire when I first got drafted. He was like, San Jose, he's taking Setoguchi. I don't know why they did that. They could have got him in like the bottom of the first round. Like, I don't know. Did he say that? Yeah, it's like, I remember him just dog. Cause I got cut every year from World Juniors. Like, one year I was fucking almost leading the league in points, got cut.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, both years I got cut. And then that I got drafted that year. And then I remember like I scored my first fucking, like, first game I played. I made the team out of camp. I rolled my ankle 3 minutes left in the game. And I spent the first 20 games in the minors. Got called up, went to Dallas, fucking jumbo, boom, boom, two goals. Almost got the empty net for the hat trick. Oh, and I remember, like, Pierre at the time, he's like, I apologize. Like, I didn't think this guy was going to make it. And then the second year, you know, I'll never forget the first game, you know. Like, that's any playoff moment, you know. Like, the tank was – I don't think there's a rink that was nowadays that could ever be louder than what that was, you know.
Yeah, I remember playing you guys because I was in Minnesota at the time, and there's no worse rink to play in. Once you guys got 1-2 goals, it was just like it's over. Like there's no coming back from that.
I remember coming back playing San Jose, and like I was on Minnesota, and I'm like fuck, I don't even have a second with the puck.
Yeah,
like I like look up and I was like, why is it so much harder when I'm like playing at home here? I feel like I got the puck fucking forever, and now I'm on the road. I can't do shit.
It's so funny how the mental game works so bad because there was only a few places where it just felt like you're always on your heels. Yeah. And for whatever, like the rinks are the same size in every barn.
Nothing
but San Jose, St. Louis was like that for me too, where it's like I could not do anything in
Chicago
St. Louis.
I mean, I actually did relatively good in Chicago. But like, you know, it's just like weird. Some of the teams, it just the way it was.
Yeah, so. You're still a baby. You're still got a lot of runway ahead of you. You're a successful business owner doing gyms now. What's the next 50 years look like for Devin Setoguchi?
I mean, like I said, I got an amazing wife at home. I got three amazing kids. When I first retired, actually, I just want to touch on this quickly because, like, when you first retire, I see why a lot of athletes go broke. they got divorced, or they, you know, they're fucking an addict or an alcoholic or something happens and they break up with their significant other. It's like, you don't have a purpose. You don't have a sense of purpose. You don't know what you're doing. You have no direction, right? Your way of socializing is gone. Like, you don't really have any sort of, like, you have a schedule since you were 15 years old that you follow, like a golden handbook. Bus at 7, breakfast at 8, bus at 9, game at 11. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like this free reign to do whatever. And so, like, the fact that I'm like, that I, when I first retired, like, I was, I'm gonna be a stay at home dad for a bit. Fuck, it lasts like 3 months. I'm like, I don't like this shit at all. And I struggled. Like, I relapsed several times after hockey. It's too much time on my hand, nothing to do. And then I found, like, the fitness industry. I decided, like, to go all in on this one gym I was going to do and dumped a bunch of money into it. And COVID hit. I was supposed to open March of 2020. COVID hit. And, like, that was probably, like, my most frustrating time that I've had in my life in a long time. It's like, we had a full open operational gym that fucking lost it all. And I had to work 4 a.m. to fucking 7 p.m. every day for, like, a year and a half.
Oh, no kidding.
And I came out on the other side. Business started taking off. Fuck it, do another one. That one started taking off. Sold both of those. Did two more. And now it's like I got this sort of, like, the gym business is my community of people that I meet and I see.
Yeah.
And
that's what I do.
So it's like my purpose is kind of fulfilled again.
That's awesome, man. Good for you.
Well, I appreciate it.
Like that, you know, again, I don't know you from Adam. I met you at Jumbo Sing, but it's cool to see the full circle moment where you feel like your life was ripped away when you got traded by Dougie Wilson. I mean, it's not ripped away, but, like, just shattered, you know?
I mean, it's kind of like, you kind of, like, that's what it felt like as a 24-year-old. You're like, you envision your whole life is here. Like, just my wife here, like, you know, like, my future wife here. I'm going to be there. That's where I'm going to live. Just getting ready to buy a house there. You know, everything was lined up here, and then it just ripped away. And that, like, and I'm too young and arrogant and fucking beetle-headed to even see there's another opportunity elsewhere, right? And so
it's funny that you went to, like, the three coldest cities in the NHL, Minnesota, Winnipeg, and Calgary. It's very funny.
Yeah.
In a sick way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, anyways.
In Buffalo, too, at some point, you know?
Hey, easy. I was in Buffalo. No, easy on the Sabres, okay? I have a soft spot. Yeah. I grew up right next to there, but, you know, I'm glad you're doing so good, buddy. And I hope our paths cross again. For maybe Pavs will get his jersey retired one day, you would think, and we can have another meetup in San Jose.
I put on the skates twice in 2 years. There's Patty's retirement and Jumbo's retirement, right?
And I'll tell you what, for those of you watching and listening, the guy hasn't missed a beat. You still got, like, unbelievable hands. You still got a great shot. I was just like, damn. Like, I can see what all the fuss was about. Like, you are still a legit sniper.
It was funny. Like, I played the Patty's game, and, like, I was like, I'm going to have a gig in good shape for this. And I skated a couple times. My kid has, like, skating lessons. I put my fucking skates on and went out with him, like, every day for, you know, 3 weeks leading up to this. So when I played the Patty's game, I was like, I'm going to look good.
That's right. Turn some heads.
And, like, sure enough, like, every single one's like, dude, why aren't you fucking still playing? I was like, mission accomplished.
Like, you're like, jackpot.
Yeah.
The phone's ringing off the hook. You're like, I'm okay. You know what? I'm good where I'm at. That's so fine. Well, like, you're still a baby. Like, you still look great.
I just turned 39. Yeah. So I'll be 40 next year. I mean, I see like 80 is a great end of my life. Like, I see I'm halfway.
You're so full of it. You're a gym owner. You're going to live to like 95, 100. That's another frustrating thing. You treated your body like trash for like 20 years, and you're going to outlive me by 20 years. I'm going to be like, come on. Like, it's not fair.
I would say, like, right now, I'm probably in better shape than I was like a couple of my final years.
Take your shirt off right now.
No, I'm not taking my shirt off. But like cardiovascular-wise, strength-wise, nutrition-wise, health-wise, I'm definitely in better shape than I was when I played in fucking Winnipeg, Calgary, and even, like, by far.
Well, and mentally. You seem like you're just in a good spot. I remember watching an interview you did with the NHL Network or something, and I'm like, he looks like shit. Like, what's going on? Like, he looks really – and it was, like, a couple years removed from retirement. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. I remember doing an interview in Winnipeg, and, like, I just shaved my head, and, like
– oh, no.
I, like physically, like I looked like I was already 40. And I have like some crazy pictures and comparisons now, like what I was then versus now. It's pretty crazy.
You look like you're 26, 27 right now.
Feeling
you look
like
fantastic.
It.
Yeah.
Feeling like it. Wow.
I'm not trying to pick you up or anything. You just look good. Cause
I like it. I'll take it. I'll take all I can get.
Let's not go too far because I'll fly to San Jose right now. But all right, buddy. Well, like, I appreciate you coming on. All the best with the gym. All the best with the family. Good luck with everything you do. And hopefully I see you around the way. Thanks.
Sounds good. All right, man. Thank you.
No problem. Devin Setoguchi, everybody. We'll see you next time. Cheers.